This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we're going to take a trip to New York to get the Yankees' perspective of the game. Earlier today, we had on Josh Vernier. We also had Rex Hudler on the show today, and we asked Vern about the decision to start Adam Frazier. I think that's one of the big storylines in this game. So Adam Frazier has not played yet in the postseason, but he has had a lot of success off the Yankees' starting pitcher, Clark Schmidt. He is 4-for-8 with a home run and two doubles. Here is Vern on the decision to give Adam Frazier the start today.
Lefties have fared better against Schmidt for his career, even more so. And listen, it's not as if, oh, he hit a home run off of him 3 years ago. No, he faced him twice last season as he played in the American League East with the Orioles and had, like you mentioned, quite a bit of success against him. He's been a fine defensive right fielder and hitting in the eight spot tonight. He maybe sees two at-bats. And you see him hitting between, you have Kyle Isbell in there, MJ Melendez in there. You have Michael Massey, a lot of lefties. So you would imagine late in the game, Tim Hill is going to come out of that Yankees bullpen. And Adam Frazier is likely pinch hit for a big swing and bat in Tommy Pham or Hunter Renfroe. So, yeah, why not? Listen, this is what Q's done all season. He's, as he said at his introductory press conference, we're looking for the 51-49%. We're always going to err on the side of the 51% and hope that the numbers work out for us.
So that was Josh Vernier earlier on the show. We will get the Yankees perspective here coming up in just a bit. I do have a question to ask you guys, 913-586-7965. So maybe this is just part of my own ignorance for not being the biggest baseball guy in the world. The kids would say, C-Dot, you don't know ball. But can you guys help me understand how the New York Yankees, the evil empire, with all of this payroll that they have and all of the money that they spend on talent, can you guys explain to me how, in the most important game of their season, they're starting Clark Schmidt? The Yankees' payroll is $309 million. The Royals' payroll is $122 million. The Yankees are second in payroll, where the Royals are 20th in payroll. How do the Royals have a vastly greater rotation than you have? It's not even like a majority of these guys are homegrown. Michael Wacha, not homegrown. Cole Reagans, not homegrown. Seth Lugo, not homegrown. How are the Yankees at a pitching disadvantage in the postseason to the Kansas City Royals? That doesn't make any sense to me. How? Can anybody help explain that to me? 913-586-7965. What's that saying? I need you to explain it to me like I'm five. Have you ever been in a situation where you were watching the game with somebody that doesn't really understand sports, and then they ask you a question and you can't fully explain the answer to it? It's just like, I don't know. That's just how it's always been. I remember when the Yankees used to have like Andy Pettitte and Mike Mussina and Roger Clemens. Like, that was their rotation. Clark Schmidt is starting game three on the road. Guy who's never started in the postseason, a guy who has no chance of going six innings. Rob, please explain this to me. Help me understand.
I mean, I can do the technicality explanation, which is they spent a lot of money on Marcus Stroman this offseason. He stinks. Nelson Cortez, Cortez, who's been good for them, is hurt. That's the answer. But even that answer is lame. You're right. When we watched the Yankees as kids, when we watched that team just mow through the postseason, it was Pettit, Clemens, Mussina. Like, oh, we get a break in game three. They're starting Mike Mussina, who's going to the Hall of Fame or might be already in the Hall of Fame. Nowadays, game three is some dude we've never heard of. And it's even more staggering considering, think about like the last Royals run. In 2016, Dayton Moore and Co. Told us they had to keep up with the Jones with starting pitching. So they dropped the bag at Ian Kennedy's feet because that was the only way to compete. You got to throw big money at starters. You got to win with starters. Starters this, starters that. The starters' pitching market's just outlandish. The Royals outspent the Yankees in starters this offseason, and the dividends are being paid. I grew up in an era where if you outspent on starting pitching, it was because you were in L.A., you were in Boston, you were in New York, not in Kansas City. Even if Stroman has stunk this year, there is very little reason for a guy, me, you, and the average fan listening to my voice, the K right now, knows about going up against an all-star in Seth Lugo. And not the Mark Redman type of all-star where it's like the someone's got to do it. It was a legitimate all-star. It's legitimately puzzling.
Text line 913-586-7965 CDOTS. Because of Judge, Soto, and Stanton, they paid for bats, not pitching. I mean, it's not even like the Royals have really spent for pitching. Michael Wacha is on a two-year, $32 million deal. Seth Lugo is on a 3-for-45. Cole Reagans is not making real money yet. And again, the Royals didn't draft and develop these players. They just went out and acquired them. There's no team in baseball that just goes out and acquires things quite like the Yankees. They just go out there and just grab who they want. They don't have a pitcher for today's game. How did the Dodgers not have a pitcher for today's game? You're telling me you had all this money to go get Shohei Ohtani, and you don't know who your game for? The Dodgers are down 2-1, and they have not named a starter for tonight's game. It is wild what is happening between the big market clubs in baseball. All right, Rob. I want to give you the opportunity because I like letting you talk about things you're passionate in. This summer, we let you talk about KU making the college football playoff. You lied to the listeners. You wasted their time and my time. You told me that this year was going to be different. That's what you told me. It's not different. Speaking of going back to 2014, the Royals are in the playoffs and Kansas stinks at football. Time's a flat circle. It's a flat circle is what it is. There's some things you're passionate about. You're passionate about your hatred of running backs. You don't want any team to run the football ever. You could be up 14 with 8 minutes to go in the Super Bowl. Why are you not throwing the ball? Don't run the clock out. Throw it. I want to give you 90 seconds to tell us why you hate Derek Jeter. Because I know if there is a list, your number one least favorite athlete is Jason Tatum. Your number two least favorite athlete is Derek Jeter. Seems like two great guys. Never bothered anybody, never caused any problems, two Hall of Famers, but you hate both of them. I know why you hate Jason Tatum. Why do you hate Derek Jeter?
I think hate is strong. I just think he is the most undeserving, unanimous selection of the Hall of Fame in the history of baseball. The Baseball Hall of Fame, which couldn't get everyone to agree, hey, first ballot, no doubt, unanimous. Let's get Babe Ruth in there. Nope. There were people who were like, George Brett. People, there were detractors. You can't let George into this hall on the first ballot. I vote nay. That was a thing that happened.
Somebody voted against Ken Griffey Jr.
People voted against Ken Griffey Jr. We can name the players they get voted against in ballot one. They all eventually make it, but it's like, oh man, they got by the 85% threshold. Good for them. There is nothing about Derek Jeter's game other than playing in New York that justifies him getting everyone to say yes. He is a good player. He's Barry Larkin. Barry Larkin's a Hall of Famer. Derek Jeter's a Hall of Famer. But people talk about him like he's the Tom Brady of baseball, when he's not. He's just the shortstop who played in New York. He is the poster child for East Coast bias. If Barry Larkin played on those 90s teams, we'd be all hating him. He'd have the Jordan brand logo on his chest. He'd be the owner of the Marlins and flame out as a GM. That would be Barry Larkin. But instead, we give that hype and that love to Derek Jeter. Last thing, everyone talks about his defense. Every nerd stat in baseball tells you he wasn't a good defensive shortstop. And the only reason his iconic play is iconic, you know, going back into the hole, jump throw, getting the guy out, is because he was a lumbering oaf who shouldn't have been at shortstop. That's why his iconic play is iconic.
Who do you think is more overrated, Eli Manning or Derek Jeter?
Derek Jeter. But Eli Manning's very much in the same category. He's going into the Hall of Fame because he played for the Giants.
Okay, I just wanted to give you the opportunity to say how you feel. I get that opportunity. I have to give you the opportunity as well to communicate how you feel. 913-586-7965. We all have a take we're passionate in. Tell me what you guys' take is. You guys know mine. Baked beans, not that good. March Madness, incredibly overrated. It gets worse as it keeps going on. It's the only tournament that feels that way. I just, you know, I have my hot takes too. Rob's hot take, Derek Jeter, overrated. He called him Barry Larkin in New York. Someone on the text line called him Ryan Sandberg, who played in New York. I was, okay, all right. Hey, that's how you guys feel towards Derek Jeter. All right. Coming up on the other side, we'll talk about two all-time Kansas City legends. We will take a trip to the Bronx and take a trip to Yankee Stadium and catch up with the Yankees beat writer and get his thoughts ahead of tonight's game and just get you fired up for the first playoff game baseball-wise in Kansas City in a long time. Keep it right here, Sir Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Text line is telling us what some of their hot takes are. Rob's, he hates Derek Jeter and thinks that he's the most overrated baseball player. You guys know my stance on March Madness. It is the only tournament that we watch that gets worse as it keeps going. The Masters is better on the weekends than it is the first 2 days. That is not how we feel about March Madness. Someone says, C-Dot, you only feel that way because you cheer for Missouri. We got to start telling the truth about what March Madness is, or at least what it's turned into. March Madness is watching a lot of players you don't know and hoping that some school that you've never heard of before wins a low-scoring basketball game. It's not that exciting anymore. It used to be great. Oh, man, we were kids. They would wheel the TV out there. It's not that good anymore. The baseball playoffs are more exciting than March Madness. I know you won't let your heart say it because they play that cool little song and Luther Vandross starts singing. The baseball playoffs are more entertaining than March Madness. You certainly know more baseball players. You know college basketball players. If he don't play on KU, you have no clue who he is. None. No, none. The only kid people know now is that kid at Duke, Cooper Flagg. You don't know anybody else playing college basketball anymore. We got to start telling the truth about March Madness. That's my hot take for the day.
Isn't Armando Bacot still in college?
No, not anymore. He's finally gone. They do have RJ Davis. He is still there, though.
Six in one hand.
And Caleb Love is still in college, which makes no sense to me. I do not know how Caleb Love is still in college. I don't know what he's going on right now. It doesn't make any sense right now. He is the only person who just seems to have all of this eligibility left. All right, coming up in a bit, we are going to take you back in time for a pop culture rewind and let you know what the most popular song, movie, all of those things were whenever the last time that the Royals made the postseason. We're going to also head to New York here coming up in a bit. But before we do that, I want to tell you who I think today is ultimately about, because I think today is about three separate groups of individuals. I think today is a lot about Salvador Perez. Salvador Perez has made more sacrifices to play for the Kansas City Royals than any player in the post-free agency era. There has not been a Royals player who has sacrificed financially as much as Salvador Perez has to continue to be on the Royals. And in the midst of being able to leave, think about it. We live in the social media era where people criticize you for anything. Salvador Perez is one of the few people who could have requested a trade and everybody would have accepted it. If Salvador Perez had came out last year or the year before and said, man, I gave this organization everything. We've won championships together. We've celebrated together. But I want to give myself one more opportunity to get to the postseason and compete for a championship. So I've asked Dayton Moore or J.J. Piccolo to trade me. I don't know, as a Royals fan, how you could have been upset if that was Salvador Perez's stance in 2022 or in the middle of last year. He has had multiple opportunities to be traded. He could have been traded to the White Sox. He could have been traded to the Miami Marlins. He had an opportunity to go play for the Texas Rangers. He has said no every single time. And the reason that he has said no every single time is he wants to continue to play for the Kansas City Royals. And he had a vision that they would return to a game like today. He had a vision that the Royals would return to a team that matters. A team that you care about, a team that you are proud to go out there and see. It is $150 to stand at the Royals game today. Robin, people are paying it hand over fist. A Royals employee told me today they are expecting more people than any game that was at 14 or 15, just because they're letting so many people in on SROs. People are paying $150 a ticket to not even have a seat. They just simply want to be in attendance today out at Kauffman Stadium. Salvador Perez is one of the few people who knew they were going to be back at this place. And not just like eventually. I mean, now. You got to give Salvador Perez a lot of credit for sticking through. And the fact that he has been the bridge now for the old generation, now who've turned into podcasts and parents and all of those things, retired. Think about how many guys from that team are now retired. James Shield, Danny Duffy, Eric Hosmer, Lorenzo Cain. Think about how many guys whose jersey that you own don't play baseball anymore. There's only one of them that has lasted this long, and it's Salvador Perez. Today, Salvador Perez is going to play at a game in which Eric Hosmer is coming back to throw out the first pitch with his kid. Think about that. That's how long Salvador Perez has been playing for the Kansas City Royals and has never wavered in, I want to be here, when it would have been very easy to waver. And most athletes in his position waver. We see it too many times. These trade requests, they don't just come out of thin air. Someone decides, I don't want to play for you anymore. Salvi has always picked you. Let's talk about Bobby Witt Jr., who made a decision that not many people do. Not just athletes, not many people do. Your best leverage is always going to be when multiple teams, multiple companies, multiple entities can bid on your services. Bobby Witt Jr. gave up the ability to hit free agency. He was always going to get a mega contract. I know the Royals gave him the money, and I'm not trying to diminish the Royals giving him that money, but the contract that the Royals offered him, every other team in baseball was prepared to offer Bobby Witt Jr. the same thing at any moment. He could have got that money from the Yankees, could have got that money from the Padres, could have got that money from the Blue Jays, anybody. Every team, and I don't even care what your shortstop situation is, you will figure it out if Bobby Witt Jr. decides, I want to come play for you guys. Bobby Witt at 25 years old said no to all of that and said, I want to continue to play in Kansas City. I'm sorry, it's only so big of a baseball star you are going to be in Kansas City, Missouri. It's not like the NFL where your quarterback can be the biggest star in the sport. It's not really how baseball works. Rob, who was the last small market star in baseball? Like legitimate star in baseball? Because usually, you play for the Dodgers, you play for the Angels, you play for the Yankees. I'm talking about a legitimate superstar. Or you play for a traditional organization. You play for the Braves, one of those teams, like Acuna. You play for one of those kind of teams. The fact that Bobby Witt Jr. said no to all of those things and decided at 24, 25 years old, I want to play for the Royals, it should have shot him up to the Travis Kelce level. The same way that Kelce has always chosen the Chiefs, chosen less money, chosen less opportunities to continue to play for this organization. Bobby Witt Jr. did the exact same thing at a much higher scale. That's the sacrifices that these two individuals have made to play in today's game. And having the vision that this is going to happen, Bobby Witt could have always kept the leverage over the Royals. Hey, I don't want to sign long-term. I want to continue to make you guys do this in free agency and do this in free agency, and maybe I'll stay. That happens all the time when you have a really talented player in small market. Rob, you and I see it all the time. It happens in baseball. It happens in basketball. Anytime you have great player in small market, that market will bend over backwards to try to keep that player happy and keep that player engaged. he gave all of that up to continue to play for the Royals in the middle of the Royals being terrible. It's not like he signed the deal after this season. Hey, Royals turned the corner. You were a big part of that. You took a big jump. You signed a big deal. That would make sense. He signed it in the middle of the Royals being the worst team in baseball. That's hope. That's faith. Those people should be celebrated for the decisions that they've made. And Kansas City is a city that, we can be honest here, turned on Tony Gonzalez for the feeling of not being loyal. Salvador Perez has shown you loyalty tenfold. Bobby Witt Jr. has shown you loyalty tenfold. Bobby Jr. showed more loyalty to the Royals than any current baseball player has shown to their respective team. Other guys have signed long-term deals. They have never done it that early in their career and with the market that Bobby Witt Jr. decided to do it in. That's big time. Sure, he got a lot of money. That money was all, it was always going to be there. There was never a time in which Bobby Witt Jr. wasn't going to sign a $200 million, $300 million contract. He was always going to get paid. He gave that up to play for the Royals. And it's not just about them. It's about us. It's about the fans. The Chiefs have done some amazing things over the last 6-7 years. They have had success that some of you never thought they would see. The Chiefs one day decided, you know what, we're tired of taking other teams' backup quarterbacks. One day we're going to draft our own quarterback. They did that, and they drafted maybe the best quarterback we've ever seen. The Chiefs went from the team who went 20-something years without winning a postseason game to now they are the dynasty in the National Football League. Nothing the Chiefs have done comes close to what the Royals accomplished in 2014. Not in terms of buzz, not in terms of excitement, not in terms of memories, none of those things. And they are the dynasty in their sport. It is not how it was in 2014. And today sort of feels like a celebration that we have found ourselves back in that same place, back at Kauffman Stadium, back celebrating Eric Hosmer, watching Salvador Perez. It's playoff baseball again in Kansas City, and that's really cool. So there are a lot of game points, and we're going to head to New York here coming up in a bit, and I want to talk about the baseball game part of today because that is obviously very, very important. But I do think we need to take some time and recognize the fact that no one thought the Royals would be here. You could be the most optimistic Royals fan out there. People did not think that the postseason was possible at the beginning of the year. It became clear as the season progressed, but the fact that the Royals went from 56 games to now you feeling like they have a chance to beat the New York Yankees in a playoff series at home, it has been an incredible journey over the last 6 months. Let's go to the phone line, speaking of the Yankees, and be joined by Max Goodman. He is with the New Jersey Star Ledger, who covers the Yankees. Max, how you doing today, my man?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Absolutely, man. Doing fantastic. Let's just start with this. What was your read on the first two games of this series? The Yankees got one, the Royals got one, and now we're headed to Kansas City for game three.
Well, I think the read is that these Royals aren't going to go away. I definitely expected it was going to be a formidable opponent for the Yankees. And, you know, in some ways they don't necessarily match up the best because they play fundamental baseball. They take the extra base. They play good defense. You got some good pitching, which we've already seen. Yankees have been struggling a little bit on offense against their starters so far. So, you know, I predicted going in Yankees in five. I still think that that's definitely on the table, but nothing would surprise me at this point. You know, I could see the Yankees taking these next two here, but I could also see Kansas City taking them because I think Lugo is a rough matchup for them. He throws so many different pitches, commands so well, doesn't put runners on. And if the Yankees don't break through, then, you know, anything could happen if their backs are against the wall in a game four.
Right now, we're talking to Max Goodman, getting the Yankees' perspective on this series. You're right about Seth Lugo. He's had some success against this Yankees lineup. Let's dive a little bit more. What is it about Lugo that, I guess, worries you about this Yankees lineup heading into it? Because I'm looking at it, Lugo with his command, I'm looking at the ballpark as well. I think Lugo can have a pretty decent start tonight.
I agree, and I think that you can look at the familiarity too, right? Like, he pitched against the Yankees twice this year. So that can go either direction. Maybe that's an advantage Lugo, because then he knows some of those hitters better and knows how to attack them. But it could also go in the Yankees' favor. And maybe, you know, a guy like Aaron Judge, who's 0-for-8 lifetime against Lugo, is a little bit due and finally breaks through against him. Or Juan Soto, who has the best numbers of anyone on the Yankees against Lugo career-wise, you know, he's a pick to click for me tonight because, you know, lefties have some more success against Lugo. So, you know, what the Yankees have shown in these first couple of games is that as much as they've been struggling with runners in scoring position, they've been getting guys on. They've been really patient, knocking starters out a little bit earlier. You know, I was surprised Reagan's only went four, I think it was, right, in game two. So if they can maybe get some base runners on and work some walks against a starter that really doesn't lose his control and command, that's easier said than done against the guy who can command, you know, whatever it is, nine different pitches. But I think that's the game plan. Try to get on base and also attack and capitalize on those opportunities early on.
Max, if you can you take us inside the mind of a Yankees fan and how they're feeling right now about Aaron Judge, who might be the best baseball player in the world, but he is a completely different player in the postseason?
Right. I think you're a little conflicted, right, because Judge is coming off one of, if not the best, single seasons by a right-handed hitter in MLB history, and he doesn't have the steroids hanging over him like some other generational talents that we've seen. And when he goes, the Yankees go. So I think fans are a little nervous. You know, there is a narrative that Judge doesn't come up big in the playoffs. He hasn't done it just yet. And some of his bigger postseason performances are, you know, years and years ago, like from the first couple of seasons of his career. So they expect him to perform. And, you know, does three bad games or four bad games in the ALDS overshadow what he did over 162 in the regular season? In New York, in this market, you know, they're expecting to win in October. So it very well may be that case where a lot of fans aren't as happy with him after this series goes. But like I said, if Judge performs well, the Yankees typically do well too. And when you factor in Soto, I mean, that's why there's the narrative that they're a little top-heavy sometimes. But they still led the league in wins this year, led the American League, I should say. So, you know, when those two are firing on all cylinders, then this team wins games. And I've been very impressed with the bullpen as well. They've really shut the Royals down so far too.
Max, what can you tell us about Clark Schmidt, who's getting the start today for the Yankees?
Well, it was going to be between Clark or Luis Heel. Heel's upside, I think, is a little higher. He's got such high-octane electric stuff, but his command is sometimes a liability. They would have had to go in with such a short leash. So they bank on the consistency with Schmidt. And, you know, he's just coming back from an injury where he had like a three-plus month layoff, pitched five times in September, was starting to capture his rhythm back a little bit. Game 162 was a terrible weather day in the Bronx, so really you're only looking at four starts for him since coming back from that injury. But he used to be a top prospect for the Yankees, was a first-round pick, he had a lot of untapped potential for his first couple of years within the system, and then finally starting to crack in with the big league club. But if you look at his numbers, he was magnificent before he got hurt this year. You know, one of the best young starters, I think you can say, in the AL. But the IL certainly changed the trajectory of that breakout season for him. And, you know, he's as confident as you're going to see a young player or maybe a little inexperienced compared to some of the other veterans on the Yankees staff. So I think as much as I expect the atmosphere to be crazy at Kauffman tonight, I think he's going to be well-equipped to handle that. It's just, you know, can he execute with his pitches?
I was just going to ask you, you know, what are your expectations for him? What's a best-case scenario? Because I'm looking at it right now, and I'm looking at his baseball reference page. I mean, if you could get four, maybe five decent innings from him, I think you feel really good, and you hand things over to your bullpen and try to close things down. That's why, just looking at it through the Royals' perspective, I think it's going to be really critical for them to try to get on him early and try to score in those first three innings.
Absolutely. I think you're looking at five solid innings and then you hand it over to the bullpen. And the perks of the way that this series format is with all the days off, you know, everybody's pretty much rested. And like I said earlier, I don't think the Yankees bullpen has given up an earned run yet this series. So if they're able to go through five with Schmidt and then hand it over to those high leverage guys that they've really trusted towards the end of the season and now into October, I think they'll be in good shape. But yeah, it's a tall task for Schmidt because this lineup has shown the Royals, that is, that they can hang with the best of them. And if they're going to, you know, knock Cole around and bounce back like they did against Rodon after he looked so good in his first trip through the order, you know, it's not an easy matchup necessarily for Schmidt. So this is one of, if not the biggest starts of his career.
That's also interesting, just kind of listening to you and kind of your perception of Schmidt heading into this. You know, you would think kind of the opposite, at least when it comes to him. I mean, he's a guy who doesn't have a postseason start, doesn't have a lot of postseason experience. He hasn't pitched since the end of September. You're going on the road for this game. Like, there's a lot of things that could go left for him tonight.
There could, but I'll tell you one thing. At my previous job, when I covered the Yankees for the Sports Illustrated Network, I had the chance to sit down with Schmidt when he was still a prospect. And this was spring training 2020. So before he had made his MLB debut, before everything shut down with the pandemic. And I asked him where he sees himself in 5 years. I'll never forget it. He was like, I'm going to be the number one on the Yankees starting staff. So that's the kind of confidence that you get from him. And as much as this is a huge test for him in terms of the playoffs, in terms of the injury this year, and maybe proving himself a little bit that he can be part of this staff when the season's on the line, again, I really do feel like he's equipped to handle it. It just is going to come down to facing a lineup that doesn't walk very much, doesn't strike out very much. They're going to put the ball in play, and you got to handle those big names in the middle of the lineup. I'm kind of surprised Bobby Witt hasn't done anything yet, so I feel like he's due to have a big game. And, Perez and Pasquantino, that's a tough lineup to get through, and a lot of veterans that are going to be counseling those young guys over there.
Right now we're talking to Max Goodman here for a couple more minutes. He covers the Yankees. All right, Max, I've got two final questions. What are your Yankees' keys for a win tonight for them?
I think it's just getting Lugo out of the game as early as possible. The Royals bullpen, at least from my perspective, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like that's kind of the path to victory for this Yankees offense. It can be a liability of sorts. And we saw in game one, they those relievers that were coming in, they couldn't find the zone. It was resulting in a lot of opportunities for the Yankees. But they're 3-for-19 with runners in scoring position so far. 19 runners stranded on base. You're not going to win games when you're failing in those run scoring opportunities. So just look at the first inning, those first two games. Judge, Stanton, Wells, they didn't capitalize when they had runners on base and in scoring position in those two frames. Could have set the tone for those two games. So, the Yankees were able to eke out a win in game one, which could have gone either way, and they were outplayed in game two. So, the statistics say that if they don't win game three and game four is at home for the Royals, that the advantage is just heavily in Kansas City's favor. So you've got to take advantage of this opportunity to go up 2-1 and then, keep trying to win every game.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that because I'm looking at it, and I understand why Vegas has the Yankees as the favorite, right? They're the Yankees and they're playing the Royals. I mean, history kind of says that the Royals have the advantage. The fact that they won the game in Yankee Stadium and now it is a three-game series and the Royals have two of the next possible three games at home, I mean, it kind of feels like the Royals have the advantage in this. They have Lugo. They also have Cole Reagans, who's going to go in game five. Do you look at it that way? Do you think the Royals have the advantage in this series?
Yes and no. I mean, certainly the history would suggest, like I said, that the advantage goes to the Royals here because they split on the road and they have home field advantage now. But it's a case-by-case basis with every series that's gone 2-2-1 in the division series in history. So you got to factor in the Yankees have such so much potential with their lineup that they haven't really started scratching the surface yet offensively this series. But they have a propensity to go cold like this. So I'll also mention that they were the best team in the bigs on the road this year. And as much as, again, I do think the atmosphere will be nothing like they've encountered, they're used to playing against hostile crowds where, everybody loves to hate the Yankees, and also Yankees fans travel pretty well. So they will have some fans here, I'm sure. And if they can continue to play well away from Yankee Stadium, then they'll make sure they don't have to come back and play for their season on Saturday in a game five or even potentially tomorrow night.
Max, last thing here, and I'll get you out of here, and we appreciate your time. Have you told Jazz Chisholm that he's about to be booed by everybody in attendance today?
I don't think anyone's had a chance to do that yet, but he was swaggering around during BP and doing his thing. He plays with such a flair. He's seemingly been a perfect fit for the Yankees so far with a trade deadline that was pretty, quite frankly, I think it's fair to say disastrous otherwise with the bullpen guys they brought in. Jazz has been one of the best acquisitions that any team made in terms of a position player. So, he's got to come up big. Maybe that home run in game two really gets him to start going. But I think he also feeds off of that kind of hostile environment, or at least that's what he's been saying. For someone who played with the Marlins for his entirety of his career leading up to this, he hasn't been in these kinds of situations before, right? So we'll see how he handles it. But I think everyone's going to rile around him and Aaron Boone's a player's manager, so he's going to get these guys ready to go. But I think it'll be closer than some Yankees fans think, as the Royals have proven over these first two games.
That is Max Goodman joining us on the show today. He works with the New Jersey Star-Ledger. He covers the Yankees. He is at Kauffman Stadium today. Max, I'm expecting one of the more electric baseball environments today, man. It's going to be a lot of fun, man. Appreciate you hopping on today.
Thanks for having me. Have a good rest of the week, all right?
Absolutely. That is Max Goodman joining us on the show. Coming up on the other side, John Sherman sat down with Fox 4. We'll play for you what he had to say, and we will recap how long it's been since the Royals have had a postseason game at Kauffman Stadium. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, we got a lot to do and don't have a whole lot of time to do it. We are signing off early today because of the Royals. John Sherman was on Fox 4 earlier today. He sat down for an interview. He was asked a question. It started with, are you surprised with how quickly you guys got to the postseason?
You know, it's a hard question to answer when I think about 2019. You know, we get hit by the pandemic. We had 2 years that we were dealing with that. We had a work stoppage, and then we lose 106 games, right? So last offseason, we, you know, JJ had some very specific goals. He went to work on them. He accomplished them all. And we've been fortunate enough to stay healthy and obviously being here in this, you know, to bring October baseball back to the K. We've already played 4 games in October, but this is the first one back here, and this is really what we're most excited about.
Great to have the Hunt for Blue October back at Kauffman Stadium. What for you was the key? I know everybody, a lot of people point to the starting pitching, the effort the team made to go out in the offseason and get some quality starters. One of them will take the hill tonight. There's also talk about the influx of analytics and the analyzing some of the things that maybe were missing prior but are now part of the lexicon of this franchise. What is it for you?
You know, I think it's all of that, John. JJ, with intentionality, brought some people from outside the organization in when he took on this job 2 years ago. Matt Quattraro, our manager, came from Tampa. Our new pitching coach, Brian Sweeney, came from the Cleveland organization. And I think those were organizations that perhaps were a little bit ahead of us in those areas. But at the end, you know, people ask me a lot, you want to be like Tampa, you want to be like Cleveland. We want to be the Kansas City Royals in our own brand of baseball. So I think that is really the key. I think we have found an identity, which is based upon excellent pitching, good defense, base running, and then timely hitting. And so far in the playoffs, we've been able to do that.
One other major issue that you've been dealing with during this season, clearly not a distraction, is a new location for this team, this franchise, focusing on downtown. Does it help to have this kind of energy when you're also dealing with those kinds of things in the background? Does that give you a little leverage or little insight?
I certainly hope it helps. But, you know, right now we're really focused on beating the New York Yankees this afternoon. And there'll be plenty of time to talk about that once the season's over. But it's all exciting. I'm really just so excited for our fans and our community. And really, really, really proud of the players and coaches and staff for how they've handled. Yeah, another reason has been the leadership of that group. I mean, J.J. Piccolo and our manager, Q, they have had a steady hand through this whole period.
You were a part owner of the Cleveland Indians, or Guardians, the Indians right. then, now right. Guardians, right. Before you came back to Kansas City, although this remained your home. Would you rather play them or the Tigers?
You know, I can't worry about that. I think the Tigers are up. When I came out here, they were up 2-0 in that game. But we'll play whoever comes out the other side. We got to focus on making sure we take care of the Yankees first so we get that opportunity.
You know what, John? Thank you. TV people, always pushy. We talk about the stadium and talk about the Tigers. Let's deal with game 3. That's hard enough. You're going up against the Yankees, the most storied program in baseball history. We'll worry about that when we get there. All right, before we get out of here, and we appreciate you guys listening and making us a part of your day. Hopefully you're heading out to the game. Take care of yourself, man. I want to play for you what the top song was the last time that the Royals hosted a playoff game at Kauffman Stadium.
I can't feel my face when I'm with you, but I love it.
Rob.
But I love it.
Couple things. Number one, that doesn't sound like The Weeknd. That's number one. You got the Kids Bop Weeknd. That's number one. That's weekday. That was not The Weeknd. That's number one. And that was not the top song in Kids. That was not the top song with the last time that the Royals were in the postseason. I know what the top song was. It was by Sir Fetty Wap.
That was the top song in the summer of 15.
No, that was the top song for everybody.
Because in October.
That was not The Weeknd. What version did you give us?
I grabbed the top one off YouTube.
That was weekday.
That was weekday.
Yeah, that was not The Weeknd.
By the way, is The Weeknd
Rob's fooling people here.
By the way, has he done anything since the Super Bowl? Is he just still putting out music, or is he kind of done?
Oh,
Let's move on here. It's a lot of nonsense going on. You tried to sabotage the segment, and you, first off, you disrespect to Sir Fetty Wap. Fetty, hold your head up. You in prison right now. So hold your head up right now. And then Rob, I don't know what's going on with Rob right now. I'm telling you, ever since I let Rob get that one Derek Jeter takeoff, he's been walking around a little different for the last 20, 30 minutes on this show. Here was the top movie the last time that the Royals were in the postseason.
Do you realize how crazy this is? We had no other option. No matter what happens,
what movie is this, Rob?
Oh,
I'm not familiar with this.
This is The Martian with Matt Damon. I never seen that before.
You never saw The Martian with Matt Damon?
Yeah.
It won like a ton of awards.
I'm happy we quit making space movies. They made Interstellar. They made Gravity. We didn't need no more. We've been there before. We've been to that universe before. That's the worst of those movies.
No.
What movie is The Martian better than? It's better than Interstellar?
Interstellar.
It ain't better than Gravity.
I never liked Gravity, but
I do like Gravity. It's like big conflict, and all of a sudden it's like, wait, hold on, what just happened here? I like the Gravity. Very good film.
I mean, Gravity was great about giving us Clooney for like 12 minutes. Yeah. Hey, this guy's going to get paid. You guys know him, and now he's gone. See you later. You know,
that is kind of what happened.
Let's get George.
All right, I do not know what the top song or what the top TV show is. I think it's a little bit too early for Game of Thrones. I'm going to guess Big Bang Theory.
Our whole universe is in a hot state nearly 14.
It's the only show people watched in 2015. You didn't watch anything else. You watched Big Bang Theory. Who was keeping the lights on over there? Y'all really like that show like that? That's a Two America show. I don't know anybody that watched that show. Not a single human being. You know somebody that watches that show?
I mean, the olds, but not like personally.
I might be the only person that watches network television. But I watch Law and Order.
You watch one show on network television. You're not like watching network television.
Can you imagine
television
when you were dating your fiance, like, hey, what shows are you watching? She's like, man, I really love Big Bang Theory. You would not be married today if that was the case. You would not be married. I had a lot of fun today. Tomorrow we might be out at Kauffman Stadium. I don't know. I know I will be here. Rob will be here. Hopefully you will be here. Go Royals. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.